Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello. It's Tuesday, the 25th of August.
Is it?
I'm feeling very old.
Because you've got a big one, haven't you?
I've had a big one, yes.
You've had a big one, yeah.
I've had a big one.
How was it?
I'm now officially an OAP.
Got your bus pass?
I got my bus pass and everything, yeah.
Got your little paisley slippers?
Yeah, absolutely. My pipe, which I don't smoke. And of course, because I'm in quarantine, we didn't have a party, we didn't have any celebration, nothing happened. So we're all saving it up for later in the year. Anyway, well, how are you?
I'm very well. I think there's a few gremlins in my house. I think it's plumbing, Paul Andrews. I don't think things are made properly anymore. And, you know, the days of, what was it, Shanks's, was it? In my old Victorian house that I had, the toilet was one of those wooden things that you lifted up. And it was called the Noiseless. It actually had a name, you know, on the top. And it lasted, you know. But I've just had, you know, 8 years, I've had a couple of bathrooms put in. The plugs don't come up. There's always something, isn't there? The plug
doesn't come up,
or the little shower bit doesn't go in, or the shower bit whizzes round. So I would like to get back to the old-fashioned English manufacturing days where things worked and you didn't have to worry. And also, you could mend them. Because my plumber's been round so many times. We keep a plunger now in the bathroom to get the plug up.
Do you?
Yeah. And also... Yeah. While I'm talking about it.
Am I going to get a word in a minute?
Well, on the shower rail, I've got a really smart ensuite. It's beautiful. It's a girly. It's a really deep fuchsia pink on one wall. And it's lovely. And it's got white tiles on the floor, sort of marbly things. And I had this shower, overhead shower, and it's gone all green. The copper has worn
through. Oh, right, yeah.
Okay. It's just like, where is it made? Let's not say.
I want to tell you who this week's show sponsors are.
Oh, I'd love to know.
Started.
Yeah. If you're fed up with my rambling.
And then I'm going to have a moan about things not working.
All right then. First and foremost,
I want to say a huge thank you. We're pleased to be working in partnership with Whitcomb HR here on the Business Bunker Radio Show. Whitcomb HR are a human resources consultancy services offering small businesses based in the Southeast the opportunity to have their own HR manager when required. You can find out all about their services by going to their website, which is whitcombhr.co.uk. That's Whitcomb, whitcombhr.co.uk. A massive thank you to the lovely folks at Whitcomb HR for sponsoring this week's show.
And of course, the lovely Natalie was on last week.
She was indeed. Fantastic interview that was.
I was looking at the photos of the Zoom that I took, and she just looked so much nicer than you and me. It was a bit upsetting.
Yeah, I know.
She's like gorgeous with all blonde hair and
yeah. It's
lovely.
It's one of the benefits of being young, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, right, now I'm going to have a bit of a rant.
I like the way you've shaved, by the way.
Yeah.
That's to make yourself look younger, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I've like got a brand new white T-shirt on as well.
Yeah, a little cheeky face.
Yeah.
Glowing. Have you exfoliated?
No. On Monday, I have two iMacs in my office at home. On Monday, one of my iMacs literally blew up. And my fantastic support company, AnyTech, came over, picked it up and have taken it away to try and repair it. This morning, getting ready for talking to you via Zoom, this iMac blew up. I've managed to get it up and running, but if I disappear, it's because it's crashed again.
Now, how old are they?
Oh, they're very old. To be fair, they're very old. So wait for it. So on Monday, I ordered a new iMac, which costs a blooming fortune.
Yeah, they do.
Now, you know I've been ranting about the stupidity of automated systems.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? I get an email this morning from Apple. Your new iMac will be delivered today between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m., right? I get an email from the delivery company, DPD.
Yeah.
Your new iMac will be delivered today between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m.
Luckily, you're on quarantine.
Yeah. I get a text from Apple saying your new iMac will be delivered today. It has to be signed for.
Yeah.
But because of COVID, we don't require you to sign for it. However, we can't leave it in a safe space. If you are quarantined, let us know where you'd like to leave it.
No.
right. Then that's all of that. Then I get a text from DPD saying your new iMac will be delivered at 12 o'clock today.
That's bizarre.
And I can't reply to any of those messages. I can't tell them they're talking nonsense and I can't do anything. So I have no idea if or when it's coming and what they're going to do with it when they get here. It is crazy that people think that technology is useful when it is implemented so appallingly by very, very astute technical companies.
Well, exactly. If a company like Apple can't
get it right. If Apple can't get it right, who is going to get it right?
I mean, the only thing if you're quarantining is that... because I get my... Did you know I had a thyroid problem?
No, I didn't know that. And, you should have told us.
And as you know, I have Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune, very common. And I get my drugs from America because the National Health ones don't work. And they have to be signed for. But my postman is so lovely. He comes down the road. His name's Steve, the postman. Mm. And he comes down the road... He whistles.
Oh,
I love a whistle. I love a man that whistles.
Oh,
it's quite old-fashioned because the butchers used to whistle, didn't they? But
yeah.
He whistles. And he now knows that they're very urgent for me if I'm running out. And he makes sure that I get them and he sort of signs for me in a way. Okay. Probably he's not supposed to. Can't they just leave it in your coal bunker or something?
No, but... I'll give up. I just don't care anymore.
Listener, I wish you could see him because he's flapping his arms and he's waving
I've lost
his
the
arms
will to live.
He's huffing and puffing. There's nothing more frustrating than customer service when you can't speak to someone.
Yeah.
Is there?
Binging.
Yes. If I turn my volume down, though, I don't know if it'll affect my...
Well, no, what binged?
Can you still hear me?
I can. What bing, though?
Oh, it's just an... I have 33,000 emails in my inbox.
Yeah, can't you turn off notifications?
No, I've turned the volume down. It shouldn't do it now.
Okay.
That's far too technical for me.
Right, I want to tell you about something very important.
You do.
Because here on the Business Bunker Show, we've teamed up with Blue Rocket Accounting for a giveaway of resources to help position your business for success.
Love a giveaway.
Yeah, the prizes include a book bundle and 3 months of business guidance and check-ins with the MD of Blue Rocket Accounting, Mr. Miguel Calabresi.
I love a Calabresi and a Miguel.
Yeah. So there's 3 months of check-ins with Miguel Calabresi. He will talk you through your business aspirations and help you set financial targets, monitor your progress, and place your company in the best position for success. Plus, you'll also get the following books. Your Flight Plan to Success by JT DeBolt. Stress Proof Your Business and Your Life by Elizabeth Wilson and Steve Pipe. The E-Myth, Why Most Small Businesses Don't Work and What to Do About It by Michael Gerber. How to Make Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And you'll also get a packet of Milky Way stars to munch while you're reading.
Wow. Well, this is a whole library.
Yeah, yeah.
This
so if you want to be involved
prize.
In this, you need to tag 3 people who are looking to grow their business this year, follow their page on LinkedIn, like the post, and to find out who wins, you need to follow them on the various social media. So on Twitter, it's Blue Rocket ACC.
@BlueRocketACC.
On Twitter. But most of this is happening on LinkedIn. I've got a LinkedIn link here, which I'll put on the website, but you can find the links on my Twitter handle, VanillaWeb. The links are posted there.
I'm very excited about this. This sounds amazing.
Yeah, but the closing date is very soon. The closing date for this is 2 o'clock on the 24th of August.
When's that?
Monday.
Monday week?
Yeah.
Right, okay, that's good. Well, we'll get tweeting on that, listener, and make sure you get that library. It sounds and just the Milky Way stars. I mean,
yep.
I've had one of those for years, have you?
Yep.
I I would also like to, I know I rambled on about Scottish food last week, but I've just tried some oat cakes that I bought out there and they are absolutely amazing. And this is a bit nasty, but Nairn's, which is, you know, the market leader of oat cakes, uses palm oil. And so there's a whole thing about that. So I'll look it up because I've forgotten their name, but they are Duncan's of Deeside. On the Twitter, Duncan's O Deeside, because they're Scottish, you see. They said Duncan's O Deeside. But they are Duncan's and they are absolutely amazing. Try them, find them.
I got a tweet.
Oh, who's that?
Tabra Official. Good afternoon, Twitter World, Business Bunker. Our new Essential Management Skills course is taking place in September. If you follow us for details or DM us, and there's an early bird 20% off discount, which closes very soon. So if you're interested in their Essential Management Skills course happening in September, if you follow and DM Tabba underscore official, T-A-B-A underscore official on Le Twitter, you can find out about that.
Serenity Becker says, hello, everybody, Bunker listeners. We are now able to do your facials, the Guinos, all those Casey facials that we've all missed as we get saggy chops. So she is at Serenity Becker, based in Swalecliff, Whitstable and Faversham. Beautiful place in Faversham. She's got a lovely listed building, Paul Andrews. Right. And her plumbing works, I think.
I need to tell you about this because you've only got a few days left to apply for it. Businesses in Tunbridge Wells local authority area have until the 28th of August to apply for the discretionary grant for small business, retail, hospitality and leisure sectors. The details can be found by going to www.tunbridgewells.gov.uk/coronavirus updates. Let me give you that again. www.tunbridgewells.gov.uk/coronavirus updates. If you're a business in the Tunbridge Wells area and you haven't applied for your discretionary grant yet, you need to do that by the 28th of August.
And we've had quite a lot of activity, in fact, a very much lot of activity because it's August and often people go away. I'd like to say hello to Mary Jean UK, Mary G. J-E-A-N UK. She has she's a family-owned business up in Scotland, one of my Scottish friends. She does premier soap manufacturing and she's certified cruelty-free by Leaping Bunny. And she's in Fodchambers, wherever that is, in Scotland. maryjean.co.uk, and there are lots of offers on there.
My youngest is in Scotland at the moment.
Oh yeah, what's Stu doing there?
He's salmon fishing on Islay.
Oh, lovely. That would be so nice. And hopefully bring some home for Daddy.
Well, probably not. You know, I don't know if you remember, but my Stuart's an incredibly good cook.
Oh, he's going to cook it all.
So he's cooking it all. And he arrived last night and he was making Cullen skink.
Oh, I love skink. Yeah. I just love skink.
Yeah. And I said to him, you know that Jules has just gone back from Scotland and she was waxing lyrical about battered haggis.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I've already bought the haggis and we're already ready to, I'm going to make battered haggis myself.
You've got to send the address because it is delicious and it's the food of gods. It really is a good haggis. But everything, I mean, I'm raving about these oat cakes and they are delicious. So cool. Duncan's of Deeside and all that. You do look young. You look chipper.
Do I?
Yeah, I've just seen you. You look very chirpy.
Do I?
Birthdays must do you good.
Yeah, maybe.
Or the shave. My new husband, as you know, he looks like Wurzel Gummidge at the moment because he won't shave. He's refusing to have his hair cut. He's just gone to seed. And he marched in today to show me that he'd just shaved the bit under the chin there. So he's still got the shaggy beard.
Right.
But he's shaved the neck bit. And I said, and? Looks, you know, you look like Wurzel Gummidge. And then I went to have a little swim and I went to rinse my costume out. And in his basin, there were just all the little hairs. Do you leave your hairs in the basin or do you?
No, I thoroughly wash mine.
Yeah. Well, it gets my goat that as well. There's another thing that gets my goat. Today.
But as it happened, I actually had a shower today and I shaved in the shower.
Well, that's a good idea. Maybe my new husband should do that.
Yeah. The only problem is your mirror mists up.
Yeah, well, oh, you take a mirror in with you, do you?
Well,
or do
you've
you,
have got, a you can't shave without a mirror, can you?
So do you take one in with you, or have you got one of those stretchy things that comes out the wall?
No, I took one in with me.
Oh, here's somebody connecting. This must be our lovely guest.
Yeah. Well, so, I'll tell you what.
Should we do some tunage?
Why don't we have a break for some tunage, and then we'll speak to our first guest.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome our first guest of the day, back on the show after a long break, the lovely Amanda Parvin of Ethical HR. Good afternoon, Amanda. How are you?
Hello, I'm very good, thank you. And I'm not so nervous today. When I came on the last time, I think you said I was like a rabbit in headlights. I was like, I'm good today. I'm ready for it.
Well, we're like that every week anyway, so...
Bunker listener, Amanda has just been trying to rearrange Paul Andrews' blinds and my
office. She doesn't like the backdrop of my Zoom. She's giving me a right telling off.
And you know,
not straight.
She obviously has an eye for detail. And then she noticed I've got a sweatshirt draped on the other chair in my office. I've got two desks here.
Yeah.
I'm up here for hours. Sometimes I put a little sweatshirt around my shoulders. Sometimes I take it off. But she wants it rearranged.
Yeah, I do.
He hasn't noticed the dog lying on the rug yet.
The dog's gone, that's why. Anyway, listen, Amanda, it's absolutely lovely to talk to you again. I hope you're well and you're staying safe during this utter madness that's going on in 2020.
Yes.
Why don't you kick off by telling us or reminding us about Ethical HR and what it is you do?
Okay, so I have two companies. So Ethical HR Solutions is a HR generalist consultancy. So that's what people associate with normal HR. And then I have a community interest company, which is called Human to Human Employment, and it's a CIC. Okay, yeah. So it's a not-for-profit organization. So with the not-for-profit organization, it focuses on, we've got three main objectives. And it's this, the objectives of the organization come about from my experiences, my personal experiences, and my own research that I've carried out with disabled job seekers.
Yep.
So the three things that we focus on is we help remove employers' fear and uncertainty around managing disability in the workplace. And we we do that through information videos that are free for everybody, so there's no subscription, on the new website, which is being built. We've just got a landing page at the moment.
Right.
So absolutely free for everybody. And then the second thing we do is, because of the research, that we find that there's people with a disability feel that there's blockers in society because people don't know how to manage disability.
Yeah.
So the second part of what we do is documentary sort of work. And this is people that have a disability that have awesome careers. We're about to film with a racing team that have been through very traumatic experiences, have physical and mental difficulties as well, and struggled to get employment, and now have set up a race team. So they're the first ones we're about to start filming with.
Wow.
We've also been filming for the first part of what the first objective. We filmed the other day at Leeds Castle, which was stunning, with three people with physical disabilities. And it was really, really, you know, the key points that came out, the do's and the don'ts. We're about to shoot managing self-harm in the workplace as well. We've shot the introduction video at Kenwood Trust, where I'm a trustee, and they do drug and alcohol rehabilitation, so their work is amazing. And then the third objective of what we do is obviously that whole applying for a job, the website and the interview. It is another barrier for people with disabilities. So we provide a bespoke service to organisations to create inclusive interviews. So that kind of puts us in a nutshell.
So not much then.
That's just one company. On top of exams and stuff like that.
but you know, Amanda, how passionate I am about what you do and how beneficial what you do is, and how you've actually not just identified the top level of the issue, but you've got below that and started to look at some of the fundamental realities of people looking for work when they don't feel comfortable in the normal processes of confrontational interviewing, if you want to put it like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I know you've done a lot of pioneering work on looking at interview techniques that aren't confrontational. And what I mean by that is, in a normal interview, a manager will sit at a desk and the candidate will sit in front of you, and then they'll ask you daft questions like, where do you want to be in 5 years' time? And, you know, all that kind
of
stuff.
It's not a daft question.
Well, I tell you what, if somebody asked me that in 2015, it was a daft question. I'm thinking of being in the middle of a pandemic in 5 years' time.
I'd like to be ideally in quarantine.
I'll be in quarantine working from home for 5 months.
With all my staff on furlough.
But I saw a TV program you did with ITV Meridian. Must have been about a year or so ago. A brief news snippet where you were. I think it was people on the autism spectrum.
Yes.
You were interviewing by going for a walk with a dog.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And so I sit, because of my passion around diversity and equality, I was invited to sit on the ITV Meridian diversity and equality panel. So we get to review news stories and check that they are fair and consistent. Yeah. And we also get to write our own news stories. So that was my first one. I did another one after that with mental health. And we've just shot another one just recently about the work that we're doing with human to human employment. But The reporter came to where I'd organised everything, and he was like, "Well, why are we doing that?" I said, "Can we just shoot it the way I see it, the way I know is the right way to do it?" And we got such great feedback. The young lad that was interviewed, he was like, "All interviews should be done this way." And I think whilst as a HR consultant, you need to be mindful of the boundaries of employment law, that doesn't mean you can't be creative and be considerate. And that's how I like to do things. I like to do things really, really quirky. Yeah. But I also...
Is going for a walk with someone quirky? No, it's not. Yeah. It's natural.
It is natural, but it's not the natural setting to do an interview. I was partly inspired as well to do things differently because I attended an interview several years ago and it was very, I was so nervous, and I have traits as well. So I have Asperger's traits as well. So I understand that even more. And I sat with these three people and they were doing it very logically, but I was so uncomfortable that I couldn't talk properly. And that's not like me, because I could talk for Britain. And so for somebody who is on the spectrum, or somebody who's very anxious, that's just a horrendous experience. And they don't get the opportunity to shine and show their skills. So doing it differently. And, you know, if you take somebody for a walk, you could kind of get a gauge of what they're like. Are they the right cultural fit? It doesn't have to be, you know, with a piece of paper and let me ask you 20 questions. You can test them in other ways. And that also fits with an organization's culture as well. If you're a more playful and inclusive culture, you know, and you're also, your culture reflects your clients, your customers as well. It's a really great way to do it. So
can you run the listener through some Asperger's sort of traits or patterns that we should be looking out for, perhaps?
Okay. A lot of them, I mean, I work with quite a few techie clients, so they have amazing brains, and one part of their brain maybe, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, might not be socially engaging, but very logical, very pattern. You know, if they're writing what's the technical language, JavaScript or C# or something like that, they're very, very focused. So working in the tech world is fantastic. They can put the headphones and zone in, so they can be really zoned in on things. I'd say social awkwardness, everything quite scheduled out. So if you have an interview and then you change it, or there's too many people, it could be completely sensory overload, too much noise, too much vision, too much smell and stuff like that. So keeping it very impersonal is a really good way to work with people on the spectrum as well.
That's really interesting.
You know, it is interesting. And just broadening out from that a bit, where you were talking, Amanda, about the quirkiness of different interviewing techniques.
Yeah.
I have to say, as someone that works in that employment industry, conventional interviews for conventional people don't really work anymore. You know, it's so boring and cliched. So many people ask the same, where will you be in 5 years' time? You know, the same old questions. I don't see the validity of it at all. What you were proposing for people on the autism spectrum, I think works for all kinds of people. Mm. Yeah. To interview someone in a more relaxed environment and get to know them is far more valuable than asking daft, cliched questions that have been asked for 1,000 years before that people have pre-prepared an answer to. You know, it's like, you know, what are your weaknesses? Oh, I work too hard. I never go home.
But some of those questions, I know they are quite cliche, and like you say, people can prepare for them, but there's a purpose behind a question. You're trying to suss out what that person's about. But it is that style, that format can be much more playful. And like I say, it can reflect your culture. So particularly the techie world, you know, they're really kind of playful in that. So you want an interview, if you're interviewing, because there's a lot of individuals on the autistic spectrum that work in the techie world, and they're hugely talented and amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Really clever people. So you need to do their interviews slightly different to accommodate them and your culture as, you know, a creative kind of organization.
Yeah. So moving on from that, so someone's been for an interview, they've been accepted for the job, they've taken the job, and they're going to start. What are the kind of issues that you think need addressing from both an employer point of view, an employee point of view, and a colleague point of view? Because there are kind of three elements in this when you start work, aren't there?
Yes. Okay. So when I carried out my research last year in my own time with disabled job seekers, and it was really interesting, the information that I got. So I think from what they said, so the employer, because there is this fear, oh my gosh, if I discuss disability, will I end up in tribunal? So the information videos that we provide, obviously on our website, we're obviously filming them. We've just started to film, but they'll be ready soon. Approaching the employee just respectfully, you know, how can I support you? How can I work with you? Language is quite important as well. I mean, reasonable adjustments, how can we provide that? Access to work is a scheme, a government scheme, and you can get funding for that, for reasonable adjustments in the workplace. So when we did the filming the other week with the physically disabled people, there was two wheelchair users and one lady who used sticks to support her walking. The one key thing that came up, which was so awesome, was speak to me like you speak to a non-disabled person.
Yeah.
So just ask in a very polite, very respectful way, how can we support you? Obviously, the person's been successful at their interview because they're talented and skillful. You know, what can we do? And how would you like us to communicate any requirements that you have to your colleagues? So ask their permission. That's a really respectful way to do it. You know, should we educate them? Should we teach them? Should we say anything? Should we have a sign that when you're struggling, if you've got mental health difficulties, you go to a certain person? So just have those normal, natural, polite conversations, and don't be too frightened to just have them.
I think that's the key point, though, isn't it? I've got a couple of friends that are in wheelchairs, and they tell me two different things happen to them, which really drives them nuts. If they're approaching a door or a curb or something like that, and there's someone next to them, they'll grab the wheelchair and help them through it or down it or whatever.
Even though they weren't going through there in the first place.
Or the alternative is they'll just stand and watch someone struggle.
Because they don't know what to do.
Because they don't know what to do.
Yes.
What nobody ever thinks of is just asking. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we're almost scared to mention it.
Yes, I agree. I agree. One of the interviews we're
doing. You know what I mean?
One of the interviews we're doing with Jarman Solicitors is recent case law around disability discrimination. Yeah. So we can show the positives from it. This is what people have got wrong. How can employers do it differently to get it right so they don't end up in a litigation situation? Yeah. But yeah, they really don't know how to. And it was interesting when I did my my visual. It was training with a gentleman who has visual impairments, and I automatically go to hold his hand, and he said, "No, you don't do that with somebody with visual impairments. You know, that's my mummy instinct kind of coming in." Yeah. And but you go up to them first of all, and you'd say, "Hello, my name is Amanda. Can I help you at all?"
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when you say that, well, that's quite logical, isn't it? But people just would be too nervous to really know what to do. So
I found
it's funny, isn't it? It's almost as if we don't want to mention what the problem is.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's like when somebody's ill, isn't it? Or somebody has a bereavement. You know, there are ways to say it, and we know it's not really good to say, "I know how you feel," because we don't know how I feel. Yeah. But it's so then people start to avoid. Yeah. I found a man with a stick, you know, who was obviously blind. Do you even say blind anymore now?
Visual impairment, you can say.
You see, I'm so old that in my day we didn't say visual impairment. So there's a whole new ball game with age as well. Because there's a whole generation growing up who are using different words.
Yeah.
But I found him on his own in Victoria Station when I was commuting a couple of years back. And the person that was supposed to meet him from British Rail or one of the train companies had not turned up. Mm. And he was trying to get across to King's Cross.
Yeah.
And I went up to him and luckily did, as you said, I just said, "Hi," you know, I didn't say my name particularly, but I said, "Do you need some help here?" Because he was like in the middle of this huge, busy thing.
Right.
And he said, "Yes, please." And I took him to where he needed to get his train. He was going up north on his own. Incredible. Completely visually impaired with a stick. It's a whole new ball game, isn't it?
Yeah. This is actually, though, part of the problem and why people find it so difficult is this. They're not sure what words to use anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But exactly.
Because they do change a lot, you know.
Well, I grew up in the carry-on era, Paul, you know.
Yeah.
That just doesn't work anymore.
But so again, you know, it's really difficult to people because they tend to blurt out what they see.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a guide dog and a white stick, they go, "You're blind." And that can be offensive, because now the politically correct term is vision impaired, but so people don't know that because then they don't hang around in that environment very often. So again, it's one of the things that leads to people making mistakes all the time.
There's a barrier if we don't know, or if we're afraid to say the correct terminology.
As Amanda said right up front, the way to overcome that is to ask.
Just be polite, you know, and even if you use the wrong words, if you're saying to somebody and you say, "Oh, sorry, I'm not quite sure if I'm," that's what I often say when I'm speaking to people. If I say something wrong, I apologize, but my intention, you know, comes from my heart and kindness. So apologies if I do anything wrong. And they're just like, "Yeah, that's fine. That's cool." You know, absolutely. But I mean, I'm hoping the videos on our website will be, because they are very direct questions that we'll ask, what's the do's, what's the don'ts, you know, what bad experiences have you got, what would you recommend? That these, as I say, they're free, there's no subscription. This will really, really help people kind of go, "Oh, that's how we do it. Okay, I feel much more confident. Okay, now we can interview people with a disability because I kind of know how to do it." Yeah. And it breaks down that, you know, that perception and that fear. So it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome.
We're really looking forward to that, and as you say, it's a set of resources that are really going to make a difference.
Yes.
Now, of course, talking about HR and recruitment in general, we're in a situation or we're about to enter a situation that's not going to be very easy.
Yeah.
Because once they eventually let us out from lockdown, the world's going to fall apart. At the moment, we've got 7 million furloughed workers. Most of those are not going to go back to a job, if we're honest. We're going to see very, very high rates of unemployment. And of course, that's going to have a knock-on effect with people with supported needs, because you know, unemployment amongst people with supported needs was at an incredibly high level, even when we had full employment. So it's going to be worse for a while now. I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that, Amanda.
As you're correct in what you're saying, I mean, the government paper that explained about the disability employment gap, there was 30% less people employed with a disability. That was prior to COVID. And that was, I've just done another news article for ITV, and that was one of the things that I said about that. I totally respect that an organisation has got to get, you know, back into shape, and we've got to get the economy on the road. But definitely, you know, when, from my research, the perception is that, this isn't my words, but this is what I picked up in the data from my research, that employing a person with a disability is time consuming, hard work, you know, difficult. I fear that, as you said, that they're going to be even further pushed back with trying to get work, because the jobs market is going to be so flooded with non-disabled people. So, you know, this needs to be pushed even more to say they are talented. It's easy to do. It's easy to put in considerations and adjustments, you know, look past, you know, look further and see the talent that's available there. So,
I mean, because that's the critical thing, isn't it? You're not doing these people a favour just because it's corporate social responsibility. They are very talented, useful members of the workforce.
Absolutely, they're so talented. I mean, I had a discussion with a lady. She's highly qualified in accountancy. She walks through the door with her oxygen tubes on, and she said people's jaws just drop because they don't know what to do. It's like, see the skills. Okay, look past what you see or what you know, and see the skills that people have, and don't be frightened.
And Amanda, what is her disability, would you say?
She has physical disability, so she uses...
Sounds like lungs.
Yeah. It's quite a few physical disabilities that she has that affects her. But mentally, awesome, amazing, skillful, talented lady. Yeah, absolutely.
And would it help her, someone like that, who would maybe find travelling around hard, to work from home, for example? Or does she want the office environment?
She wants to be in an office environment. And that's what I've noticed with lockdown. And we're one of my clients at the moment, we've just done a survey. Do you want to work at home full time, or do you want to work in the office? And people want to balance. So for everybody, we all need social interaction, you know, don't we? I mean, as much as I've got my 7 cats and everything, it's still nice to, you know, have a conversation face to face with somebody. So yes, that's the thing. People with a disability are just the same as anybody else. They want to shop, they want to go out for dinner, and they want to work, you know. So they're just like everybody else. They're not different at all. So they just need, society just needs to give them these opportunities and not be so frightened.
I've always wondered why there aren't more people with disabilities in, you know, that might be in wheelchairs, or as newsreaders, for example. You know, it's a sitting down job, perfect. Because there is that one quite well-known newsreader, I forget his name, who was shot out in Iraq, I think, and he's often on the BBC. But, you know, it's the perfect job, isn't it?
Yeah. And when we think about it, there's 13.9 million disabled people in the UK. That is a lot of people that cannot be ignored, not be ignored.
My point is that newsreaders are picked generally because of the way they look, especially the women. You know, they have to have a nice mouth and, you know, certain hair and stuff like that.
Nice mouth.
Smile.
No, it's the wide, especially in the 80s, it's the wide newsreader's sort of cat mouth. The blokes choose, you know, in those days. And it is changing. I was actually told, and I can't mention any names, but, you know, as you know, I'm a radio presenter, and I was told that they were targeting other groups, that I'm too well-spoken at the moment for what they're targeting.
You posh bird, you.
They're targeting, positively targeting ethnic minorities and... Estuary accent. So we all got to talk like this now.
Well, you're from Essex. What's the matter with you?
I know, but I got posh. I lived in Clapham. Can't help
it. Well, get unposh.
It was me neighbours.
I want to raise something with Amanda now about this, because I think from my point of view, I think this is an issue, a preventative issue. Prior to the pandemic, a lot of our huge increase in employment was with small and medium-sized enterprises. Right. And SME owner managers tend to be the most fearful of hiring anyone. They worry about employment law, they worry about tribunals, they worry about regulations at the best of times. One of the things I heard or hear most often when talking about people with physical disabilities, and mostly people that are wheelchair bound, is we don't have offices that are wheelchair friendly. We can't afford to put in, you know, disabled toilets or whatever. Do you have any thoughts or feelings about that? I mean, because that is a big stopper for people, where they think they've got to spend hundreds of thousands of pounds to make their office suit employing someone in that situation.
Similar with also with the hospitality industry, small restaurants, small cafes.
Yeah, I experienced that with my dad when he was in a wheelchair. The average, so you've heard, I mentioned reasonable adjustments. So you've got a duty to provide reasonable adjustments. I think the average reasonable adjustment cost is something like £86. So it's really not a lot of money. Yeah. But the thing I mentioned a little earlier on, and I checked this with, and I discussed this with the people that I interviewed with the physical disabilities, access to work is the government scheme.
Right.
And these ladies have got special chairs, special screens, special phones.
Right.
They've got lots of adjustments in the workplace that the employer does not pay for.
Yep.
So any reasonable adjustment like that, they can get free through the access to work scheme. So, but a lot of people don't know that. When I worked in house, it's only as I've been a consultant and I've gone to all these different amazing events, I've heard of it. But working in house as a HR professional, I didn't know it existed.
Yep.
So getting that out there that people can, you know, organisations can have the adjustments and it's not going to cost them money, you know, that message needs to be sort of spread, really. That'd be really good.
No, I've never heard of it. Have you, Paul?
Yes, I have, actually, because...
he knows everything.
Well, no. Well, you know, I'm president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and we have exactly that issue when in trying to employ deaf people. That, you know, you get, well, how would I know if the telephone's ringing? How would I know if the fire alarms have gone off? Well, of course, there's technology for all of that. And there are schemes that provide that either totally free of charge or incredibly, you know, just a few quid. Yeah. So there's technology to get around it.
But do we say deaf people now?
Yes.
Hearing impairment. Oh, well, I would use hearing impairment, but Paul's obviously the expert. Yeah. That's how I would
see. This is a classic.
It's difficult.
It's a classic thing. I officially, people talk about hearing impairment. The deaf community themselves hate that term. If you say hearing impaired, they go, "I'm deaf."
Yeah.
But of course, there's a range of people that have. That aren't completely deaf that have, you know, reduced hearing. So again, it's one of those things where depending on who you talk to, they have different ways of describing themselves, which is why the best way of doing any of it is to ask people.
Absolutely. And I remember slightly differently, but I remember when I interviewed a transgender lady, it was about a year and a half ago. And I sort of said, you know, how should employers speak to you? And it's just ask. So it's not just about physical disability. It's, you know, another protected characteristic. Just have that conversation. How can I work with you? What do you want me to share with people? What support do you need? How would you like to be referred to?
Exactly.
You know, normal conversations. Yeah. But people are in a...
And what was her answer, Amanda?
Just that. Just speak normally. Yeah. Just ask normal questions.
Yeah.
Because to me,
I mean, the whole problem here is fear. We don't want to offend anyone.
We live
in a society in which everyone is permanently offended. Yeah, that's the problem.
If you get this on social media.
If you go on social media, everybody's offended by something. You know, we've even started tearing things down because somebody finds them offensive. So everybody's terrified.
Yeah, I agree.
At the end of the day, there's only one way out of that, as Amanda said quite rightly, is you ask the person.
Yeah, respectfully.
Don't make an assumption. Just go, how would you like me to refer to you? How would you like me to interact with you? What would you like me to do, if anything, to help or support you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was interesting when we were filming the other week with the people with the physical disability, the sort of things that they said is they get spoken to, they either get completely ignored or they get spoken to like a child.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, yeah. I'm an intelligent, capable person, and or you don't have to ignore me. I can answer for myself, thank you. And you think, yeah. But people are just, their intention is kindness. Their intention isn't to be horrible or offensive, but they just kind of get it a little bit not quite right, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got to get past that, haven't we? And just communicate.
Dialogue. Yeah, and it's people like, well, talking to Amanda has opened my eyes to things as well. So, and it is changing, you know. Yeah. Paul and I, old birds, so.
Well, I'm not young.
But now I'm officially an OAP.
I mean, but I grew up in an era where I was a JPS girl, and, you know, I worked in promotions teams and it was quite normal to have your bottom pinched.
You'd laugh it off.
Whereas now, of course, that doesn't happen.
I would,
it's a very, very different beast now.
You'd quite like it now, wouldn't you?
Yeah, nobody
would. Nailed it.
But now I would pinch them back, you see.
Yeah.
When I was 20, I'd go, it's a very different era.
Nice one.
But you can understand that, though, can't you? At the end of the day, if it's your body, you have the choice whether you want somebody to touch it or to pinch it. So from that perspective, you can. Yeah, you know, that is your personal choice. But that was funny.
I like that. I know that you've been, as well as doing all the fantastic stuff that you do, Amanda, you've actually spent a lot of time trying to create awareness around these issues as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And I know that you've been working with ITV Meridian, for instance.
Yes.
Can you give us an update on where you are with that, if anywhere?
Okay, so we filmed a couple of weeks ago. We're just waiting for that to go live. But what they're doing is the news story explains what we do, the company, community, interest company. So the three objectives, that's what we know what we're trying to do. Yeah. So it's literally an overview of that. And then we also had a lady interviewed as well, who has a physical disability, and she talked about her difficulties, and you were scheduled as well to be on that, weren't you? But I'm not sure where ITV are with that at the moment. So that'd be really good when that news article goes out. And then what we'll do is we can use that, so it has quite a lot of weight to it, and Helen Waitley, I haven't approached her yet, but she is my local MP and was very supportive.
Faversham.
Yeah, Maidstone and Faversham. She was very supportive for a member of my family who has mental health difficulties and nearly died. And her team were really amazing, so I'm going to interview her at Leeds Castle again because their settings are just beautiful. And then Jane Campbell, who's in the House of Lords, she's obviously a champion for disability rights as well. So I've had some email exchange with her, so I'll show what we've been doing. Then I'd like to interview her as well. So lots, I mean, my office is covered in all the ideas, you know, that I want to shoot. We're doing one on visual impairments as well. So, and also taking things further, I have a gentleman who does the volunteers for me, does the funding applications. He's just written something that's going to go to the BBC as well. So, you know, pushing it out there and getting sort of media coverage. I'll go to the newspapers as well, as well. So on a mission, as well as trying to run my other company, you know, and I've got exams next month.
And look after 8 cats.
7. No, I've only got 7. Oh. One, my last one, she got killed recently. And I have my son, and I have a spare son as well. So my spare son moved in with us. Well, he's 38, my spare son.
Oh.
He's my son's friend, and he's a DJ. And so his work had changed, and he had to be out of where he was. So I was like, oh, come and live with us, you know. Come. So I've got my spare son as well. So
that's lovely. That's nice. That's really good. I'm a little bit upset. There are no cats lounging in your bookcase behind.
Well, she's set this up, hasn't she? She's set this up with a really nice bookcase behind her.
They're not quite colour coordinated, though.
Out of shot, the rest of her house is a complete tip.
You want to see my desk? You want to see my floor?
It's probably wallpaper.
Yeah. No, they're real. They're in subjects. So I've got all my employment law there, and I've got family law, contract law, trust and equity. Gosh, it's all in subject. And my dissertation in my degree was employment law as well. So I did it on the miners' strike, which is fascinating because my father was a union leader as well. So when I was a child, there was lots of this on the television. So that was from my dissertation.
Do you remember with the miners' strike, Billy Elliot, how that, labour ain't working or whatever it was. My friend, my graphic designer, Ken Lloyd, was on the team that did that advert, labour ain't working. And that's used on the billboard. So he was ex-Saatchi and Saatchi. Lives in Herne Bay. Oh, yeah. So there you are. Little story.
Cool.
Amanda.
Little story.
Amanda, as always, it's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show this afternoon. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. Can you give us a shout out for both your conventional HR website, and do you have a different address coming for your CIC?
Yes, I do. That's all set up. So my conventional website, my normal HR, is Ethical HR Solutions. Yeah. But my CIC, which focuses on the disability, is called Human to Human Employment CIC. And that's a TO, not a number two. And the email address there, I have to think, is info@humantohuman.org.uk.
Fantastic.
I had to think about that then. I
love that name, Human to Human. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Well, that's, I wanted everything about what we did had to be human. I hate, and I'm very respectful of the law, I hate empty, you know, what do we do in this situation? Oh, the Equality Act. Or what do you do? Empty questions and answers. I wanted real people in these videos talking about their real experiences. It was hugely important to me. It had to be very people-y. Very human-y. That's very much what I wanted. So that's why I got the name.
I love your focus on that, and I can see that you're absolutely focused on the whole. Yeah. But human to human, I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Amanda. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Cool.
I'm going to put your website addresses on the radio website so that people can find them.
Awesome.
All power to you. Keep on keeping on. And stay safe. And we'll talk to you again soon.
And check out your Twitter. It's going wild.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Ciao, ciao. Bye.
Bye for now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was the lovely Amanda Parvin with no puss cats in view there.
Yeah, absolutely. Ethical HR Solutions and Human to Human CIC. Do check it out. The addresses will be on the website. Let's crack on.
It was very interesting, though, because, you know, you and I, as I said in the interview with Amanda, we are a different era, and we're an era where you would say different things. It is a whole new language.
You know, the whole world's gone to pot for anybody over the age of 30, because all the words we grew up using are now offensive to someone.
Yeah, but and, you see, even people of colour, as we should now say, apparently.
Don't even go there.
But I've got friends in Africa who say, I'm black. Don't say people of colour to me. And they get offended. So it's difficult.
Yeah.
We're having to learn words like furlough now.
And pandemic.
Yes.
And lockdown.
Yeah.
And all kinds of other nonsense.
I've had a tweet, Paul Andrews. It's actually come through to my scoff and quaff, but I'll read it because it's about the Great British High Street. So it's John Martin. He is owner of John Martin Estates and chair of Pitshanger Village Traders Association. Hello, John. His Twitter is JJM_Ealing. As I guess he's around there, johnmartinestates.com. And he says that the Children's Society on Pitshanger High Street is now reopened. They've made a few changes to keep everyone safe. Please make arrangements with staff on site regarding dropping off donations. And Children's Society, we work with the most vulnerable young people. We listen, we support, we act, because we believe no child should feel alone. And that's the childrenssociety.org.uk. And they've got 86.4K followers, Paul.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I want to tell you about this.
Do
ADM
you?
Computing coming up between the 2nd and the 4th of September, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. online, we have our most popular Microsoft training topic, Excel. The sessions are delivered by the wonderful Alex Waterton, who's a Microsoft certified training consultant from F Keys Limited, and they're Microsoft Office productivity specialists. They've been providing Microsoft training since 1998.
Wow.
I've done some of Alex's training. He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. There is nothing he doesn't know about these products.
And he's very calm when he teaches.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to find out about the online Excel training in September, if you go to www.adm-computing.co.uk/events, you can find out about ADM Computing and Alex Waterton F Keys Excel online training course.
We love him, and he's been a regular listener for 150 years.
He has. Alex is a really nice man. He's incredibly passionate at what he does and incredibly good at it.
I've got a little email here to read out. Shall I read it out?
Yeah, go for it.
You know, since last Tuesday's show, I still haven't found my desk glasses, so I'll squint through it, Paul Andrews. We're writing to remind you about changes to the coronavirus job retention scheme that has a name now, CJRS, from the 1st of September, and what this will mean for you, what you need to do. I don't know who this is from.
HMRC.
Oh, thank you for telling me. If I had glasses, I probably would be able to tell you.
Yeah, well, I can see it from where I am.
Yeah, but I'm squinting. Yeah. What you need to, and I can't even put my elbow down because it hurts. What you need to do from the 1st of September, they say, they will CJRS will pay 70% of usual wages up to a cap of £2,187.50 per month for the hours furloughed employers do not work. You will still need to pay your furloughed employees at least 80% of their usual wage for the hours they do not work, up to a cap of £2,500 a month. You will need to fund the difference between this and the CJRS grant yourself. The caps are proportional to the hours not worked. So, for example, if your employee is furloughed for half their usual hours in September, you are entitled to claim 70% of their usual wages for the hours they do not work, up to £1,093.75. That's 50% of the £2,187.50 cap. God, I'm confused already. You'll have to explain this. You will continue to have to pay furloughed employees national insurance and pension contributions from your own funds. I get that. Further guidance and live webinars offering you more support on changes to the scheme and how they impact are available to book online. So you can go to gov.uk and search help and support if your business is affected by coronavirus. They're still receiving very high demand, so they say please avoid the phone lines and web chat. So huge things happening in September, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, everything's changing on the job retention scheme. They're starting to wind it down by minimising it and allowing you to work part-time and all kinds of stuff. It'll be interesting to see what they do because this is my opinion. I think they're just stretching it out now beyond what's necessary. And I think that's because they fear what's going to happen next.
And
they're just trying to kick it into the long grass at the moment.
Do you mean they fear unemployment
When at the moment people have been behaving, you know, without being funny, we've just paid 7 million people to have a 5-month holiday.
Yeah, they're all on my beach, Paul.
Exactly.
Where I live.
So nobody's making a real fuss.
No.
When they find that they haven't got a job and they've got no money and they can't pay their rent or their mortgage or anything, the proverbial is going to hit the fan.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened so far, but it will And I think that's why they're kicking things into touch and trying to stretch it out.
I mean, I'm still going to places and being told, for example, there's a really nice pub on the front in Tankerton called The Royal. And my neighbour went there yesterday just for a drink with her her beau. And she found a table. She sat outside al fresco. And they said, "We're sorry, we can't serve you. We haven't got enough staff. We're too busy."
Yeah.
So they must have a small kitchen and they haven't got the... And that was just for drinks, Paul. That wasn't even a meal. And that worries me, the fact that, you know, especially in hospitality, where you've got small kitchens.
You can't half open. You just can't half open. We've either got to open or not. Exactly. And you can't keep half opening.
I still don't know anyone that's had coronavirus.
This is
the thing. My post lady, not the whistling one, but the lady that does it, her friend had it at Margate, and she did a FaceTime, and she said it made her cry, the ward, the coronavirus ward. It looked awful.
Yeah.
So it is out there, I think, quite high in East Kent. But I think if you don't know anyone that's got it, then I'm kind of now thinking we need to get back. Yeah. My mum hasn't been out since February. She's 89.
There's lots of views on this. And I know some people are still nervous. But if you're nervous, there's nothing stopping you from staying in.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are saying to me, especially older people, who are saying, do you know what? I can't do this anymore.
Exactly.
I can't stay
I've given up.
Anymore.
Yeah.
I'll take the risk. You know, I'll wear a mask, I'll go out, I'll socially distance, I'll wash my hands, but I need to go out. I need to meet other people.
Yeah.
I need to get some social interaction.
All their clubs for the elderly, I mean, an elderly is us now, but, you know, for my mum, especially
you. Like
you,
getting a dig in, don't you?
Especially you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're terribly old now. I'm much younger, of course. But my mum, you know, her choir has stopped, all her little meetings, her teas, afternoon teas, all her little her clubs and that, which were four or five times a week, they've all stopped. Horrible. Yeah. So what's
right, I've got some tweets.
Tell me.
MPSL, Michael Park Surveyors, say, "Hello, Business Bunker. We're proud to be a small firm that cares about our customers' property management needs. We aim to give an excellent customer experience and provide value for money. Give them a follow on the Twitter, @MPSL, that's Michael Park Surveyors, over in Medway, for all your commercial property needs. Diamond Circle Weddings, are you planning a wedding? Would you like a free budget planning tool along with a free timeline and loads of great tips from our wedding brochure? If you follow them on Twitter, DC Weddings UK, you can then find the link to fill out a form to get that free help. So do that. And I've had a tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens of Care in Kent. And she says, Care in Kent's care and support services are tailor-made to our clients' individual needs, meaning that they're able to continue living to their own timetable, safe in the knowledge that our services are on hand should they need them. So they're providing care for people living in their own homes. So
which
nice
is
one.
Probably never more needed. I'd like to say hello to Patchwork Foods. They're based in Wales. I may have mentioned them last week, can't quite remember. But they've sent me a lovely load of samples. I've got some lovely duck pate to try, all homemade,
right.
And a chicken pate. I shall be sampling them. If you're lucky, I might bring some in to next Tuesday's bunker.
Oh, that'll be
sample
nice.
Them. Yes, we can sample them socially isolated with long spoons.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got one more tweet
yeah.
From pinkspag_Vicky, VIKKIE. On the 6 month anniversary of the day that I launched my business, I've just received the news that I am the Pink Spaghetti Franchisee of the Month for August.
Oh, well done, so, Vicky.
Well done, Vicky. That's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant achievement after only 6 months in business.
Yeah, she's based down in Margate.
Yeah. Do give Vicky a follow on the Twitter, @pinkspag_Vicky, spelt VIKKIE. Do give her a follow.
And I'd like to say hello to the lovely chefs at Ibiza Fitness Food. You can find them at IBZ Fitness Food, delivering food throughout the UK, to Wales, to Scotland and England, to your home or to your office. And they have a very lovely chef, Jessica Deacon.
Cool. I tell you what, have you got an email to read?
I have.
You want to do that?
Yeah. So the next meeting, this is a little virtual Marsh Network online. So the next meeting, this is from Terry Botti, of course, is at 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday, the 2nd of September. Booking is essential. So please book now to reserve your place. Yeah. And you can either get a free ticket or a charity donation ticket, and they'll send you the link to join nearer the time. So they say, join us and give and receive support, grow your contacts, network and your business. Why not book through our website, www.marshnetwork.co.uk. And they've also have a little app as well. So you'll find that on the website. Sign up.
Fantastic. I'm going to do a couple of quick shout outs and then I've got an email to read. We've got Athel Bray Limited asking for a Business Bunker shout out. Big shout out to them. Food and Drink Tours. Give all these people a follow on the Twitter. Athel Bray is Athel Bray LTD, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E-L-T-D. Food Drink Tours, the lovely Angus, do give them a follow. Charity underscore Buddy, that's Martin and his fundraising teams. The absolutely fantastic work, Beverly Bunn Glass Art. You've got to check some of her work out.
It's absolutely it's gorgeous, fabulous. Isn't it?
Yeah, you can follow her at Bev Bunn Glass Art. That's Bev, B-E-V, B-U-N-N Glass Art. Bev Bunn Glass Art. Give her a follow on the Twitter. And also the lovely folks at M Farmers Market. I know they're really struggling to get things open again and working really hard to get the farmers markets back up and running and open.
Well, of course, my beloved Whitstable Farmers Market in Gorrell Tank is no longer. They just couldn't make it work with Canterbury City Council. Lots of rumours going on there about, you know, the council say one thing and they say another. So, but yeah, I'm sad. But they are going to be on Whitstable Benz, some of them. And yeah. I've had a tweet from Coffee Bean Shop. And they were regulars on the gorgeous coffee. I'm a regular. I always buy it from them. Now they're on Scoff and Quaff. And they say this week's guest coffee is the Black Honey Mexican Coffee. And it was all sold when we introduced it last by Monday afternoon. So it's freshly roasted. That's the difference. If you go to a cafe, it can be freshly ground, but it's not necessarily freshly roasted, and that is the big difference. So you'll find them on coffeebeanshop.co.uk, I believe they are.
Fantastic. I want to tell you about this. Kent County Council has launched a whole range of different support and financial packages. I'm going to mention a few of them, and then I'm going to tell you how to find out about all of them. They've launched the Kent and Medway Business Fund. It's 0% loans between £50,000 and £500,000. For small and medium-sized businesses. There are innovation loan. This scheme offers 0% loans to small and medium-sized businesses in Kent and Medway. There's a startup loan. This is a low interest loan for pre-start and early stage businesses, and you can borrow up to £25,000 at 6% fixed interest rate. And then there's a special area one, the Marsh Business Boosts loan. The scheme offers 0% interest loan support to small and micro businesses and startups with the potential for growth in the Romney Marsh area. And there's those, and there's a number of other things that you can find on their website, and all the eligibility criteria and all the application criteria is also to be found there by going to www.kent.gov.uk/businessloansandfunding. Let me give you that again. It's www.kent.gov.uk/businessloansandfunding. Do check that out. If you're looking for support, loans, funding, startup, or any of those things, KCC have a number of products that they've just launched that are available.
And of course, the Eat Out to Help Out scheme will probably be coming to an end by now at the end of August, won't it? It's August only.
Yeah, they're talking about maybe extending it, so we shall have to see what they do.
Yeah,
it's been pretty successful so far, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Has helped a lot of people, and it was clever to do it at the start of the week, which is when people normally don't eat out. So it's encouraged people to do that. But one of the things that has been causing me grief, and I'm sure you've got something to say about this, is the amount of people booking restaurant spaces and not turning up.
Oh gosh, it's terrible. It's so rude. And I know Jojo's near me in Tankerton, Whitstable, were taking a £15 deposit.
And I don't blame them because it's just not fair, is it?
It's not so fair. Rude.
That, you know, they've got restricted tables that they can offer. You book it and don't show up, they can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
You know, and what does it take to phone up and say, oh, sorry, we're not coming, you know?
Yeah, exactly. If any of the listeners are listening, I would like to know whether the visors that are available are as useful safety-wise as a mask.
You look like a welder.
Well, I bought some visors just in case, because I find the masks very, very difficult to breathe in, I have to say.
Yeah, they are. They're claustrophobic, aren't they? They stick to your face. And
they are. And I know we mustn't moan because the NHS are wearing them all day, but it is stopping me lingering with people in shops and that, when normally I would browse a bit more because it affects my breathing. I find I'm breathing through my mouth and I can't breathe through my nose.
You're a mouth breather, are you?
And we're going to have a little pause now, aren't we? A little break?
I think let's have a little break. And then when we come back, we're going to speak to our next guest.
What we call in the business a comfort break, Paul Andrews.
I really do need one of those, actually.
Well, it's our age, darling, especially yours.
I know. Tell me about it.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My